Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Pete is on the hot seat. We'll get to that in just a moment. And this, as incoming President Donald J. Trump is, of course, under fire by the media, locally, nationally, taking pot shots. As we learn more about the big inauguration, hope you join us, obviously, at the NAC, as we're going to be there reporting, broadcasting live all day next Monday. So for the big inaugural, but we're learning more, and we'll get into this. Carrie Underwood, she's under fire, of course, now because she says it's a great honor. She's a patriot, and she will be singing among the others. Lee Greenwood, of course, Christopher Macchio, all set to perform during Trump's inauguration festivities. We have some great audio of Melania Trump, incoming first lady, and her Be Best initiative. And I will slam some of the so-called mainstream media, what they're saying about that. Gosh, it just gets on my nerves, on my last nerve. We'll get into immigration. Tom Homan, you'll hear all about that. And Butler, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you had known about this, but we just learned within the past 12, 20 hours that first responders from Butler County, Pennsylvania, the site of the first assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump during the presidential campaign, of course, and they played a pivotal role, right, in his run for the White House. Well, we're learning now that those, many of those responders who helped him in the immediate moments of that aftermath of being shot in his ear, they have been given a very special role coming up on Monday. And so this is going to be, we'll talk about that moving forward, but I was really touched by this, to see this. And once again, our great hero, Corey Comparator, will be once again honored by, in a new way, by incoming President Trump, all of that. But first, let's get to what's happening now, and that's this morning, started within the past 33 minutes, and that is former Fox star, and he really was a star by all accounts, living his best life, and this is Pete Hegseth, and we've learned recently, within the past day, how much he made, whew, for a weekend gig, $4.5 million salary. So you learn about this life as a superstar, military background. I love the thank you for the Rocky. He is Rocky in many ways, Dan. Thanks for the background music from our great executive producer, Dan Borowski, our engineer, Jimmy Kelly. But let's get to it, as Pete Hegseth knew that this would be an uphill battle, but of course continues to be supported by the person who nominated him, Donald J. Trump. So here is a little bit, a snippet of Pete Hegseth's opening remarks.
Yeah, no, opening remarks we don't have, Dawn, but we do have Senator Jack Reed. So it started off with the two senators going back and forth, the majority, then minority. And Senator Jack Reed really set the stage as to what we can expect today from the Democrats, Dawn. Take a listen.
Mr. Hegseth, I do not believe that you are qualified to meet the overwhelming demands of this job. We must acknowledge the concerning public reports against you. A variety of sources, including your own writings, implicate you with disregarding the laws of war, financial mismanagement, racist and sexist remarks about men and women in uniform, alcohol abuse, sexual assault, sexual harassment, and other troubling issues. I have reviewed many of these allegations and find them extremely alarming. Indeed, the totality of your own writings and alleged conduct would disqualify any service member from holding any leadership position in the military, much less being confirmed as the Secretary of Defense.
Isn't that lovely? No.
Yeah, so
what a jerk.
It's actually, as we speak, Hegseth's doing his statement. So I'm going to back it up to where he starts and we'll get that going. But give me 1 second for that, Dawn.
Okay. So in the meantime, and this is what they'll do. In other words, here's somebody who we never heard any of this, did we? That's what's always interesting to me. If this is such a bad dude who's a public person on the air, you know, every weekend, but also during the week on a major network, you never heard any of this, did you? Until now. And so why is that? And they take these horrible shots at him. And yeah, it's like the old song, take your best shot. And that's part of this is, Hegseth would not be here today on the hot seat if not for the support of the person who nominated him during these important Senate hearings.
All right, so we have Senator Roger Wicker now doing the standard questioning of Hegseth and Hegseth, some of his answers. Take a listen. This is happening just about a minute or two ago.
Engagements and responsibilities also, but thank you both for your testimony. At this point, Mr. Hegseth, I'm required to ask you as a nominee a series of questions that the committee asks all civilian nominees who appear before it. If you would, please simply respond in the affirmative or negative to each question. Have you adhered to applicable laws and regulations governing conflicts of interest?
Yes, sir.
Have you assumed any duties or taken any actions that would appear to presume the outcome of the confirmation process?
No, sir.
We're going to fast forward it while they do these questions to where he starts to speak in depth
from reprisal for their testimony or briefings.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So these are all the formalities.
So at this point, Mr.
Let's just take it live.
You're recognized for your opening statement.
Well, thank you, Chairman Wicker, Ranking Member Reed, and all the members of this committee for this opportunity.
A couple minutes behind,
today.
But the start of the opening statement now. There
I'm grateful for and have learned a great deal from this advice and consent process. Our founders knew what they were doing. Should I be confirmed, I look forward to working with this committee, senators from both parties, to secure our nation. I want to thank the former senator from Minnesota, Norm Coleman, for his mentorship and friendship in this process. And the incoming National Security Advisor, Congressman, and more importantly for our purposes, Colonel Mike Waltz, for his powerful words. I'm grateful to them both. Thank you to my incredible wife, Jennifer, who has changed my life and been with me throughout this entire process. I love you, sweetheart, and I thank God for you. And as Jenny and I pray together every morning, all glory, regardless of the outcome, belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His grace and mercy abounds each day. May his will be done. Thank you to my father, Brian, and mother, Penny, as well as our entire family, including our 7 wonderful kids, Gunner, Jackson, Peter Boone, Kensington, Luke, Rex. Sorry, it's a lot of them.
A lot of kids.
And Gwendolyn. Their future safety and security is in all of our hands. And to all the troops and veterans watching and here in the room, Navy SEALs, Green Berets, soldiers, pilots, sailors, Marines, Gold Stars, and more, too many friends to name. Officers, enlisted, black and white, young and old, men and women, all Americans, all warriors. This hearing is for you. Thank you for figuratively and literally having my back.
Is that a heckler?
You are a misogynist. Not
we have a heckler being escorted out by police, literally being carried out of the room during the opening statement.
I want to thank the authorities for their swift reaction to that outburst and state that similar interruptions will be treated in like manner. Mr. Hegseth, you may continue.
Well, as I'll say again, thank you for figuratively and literally having my back. I pledge to do the same for all of you. It's an honor to come before this committee today as President Donald Trump's nominee for the office of Secretary of Defense. 2 months ago, 77 million Americans gave President Trump a powerful mandate for change, to put America first, at home and abroad. I want to thank President Trump for his faith in me and his selfless leadership for our republic. The troops have no better commander-in-chief than Donald Trump. As I've said to many of you in private meetings, when President Trump chose me for this position, the primary charge he gave me was to bring the warrior culture back to the Department of Defense. He, like me, wants a Pentagon laser-focused on lethality, meritocracy, warfighting, accountability, and readiness.
Well, these are insurrectionists. I imagine they're going to go to prison for 17 years.
You may continue, sir.
Returning the Pentagon back to warfighting? That's it. That's my job.
Mr. Hegseth, suspend your remarks. Let me just say this. The Capitol Police are going to remove immediately individuals that are disrupting the hearing. I see a pattern attempted to be inflicted on the committee, and we're simply not going to tolerate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and John's right on the YouTube chat. They should announce you will go to jail, and we might be able to process you by Friday. You'll sit in jail.
Bring back war fighting if confirmed. I'm going to work with President Trump and this committee to, one, restore the warrior ethos to the Pentagon and throughout our fighting force. In doing so, we will reestablish trust in our military, addressing the recruiting crisis, the retention crisis, and readiness crisis in our ranks.
Members of the security force will remove members. Mr. Hegseth, you may.
So it sounds like we have
of our military,
we have those hecklers,
our unity, and our shared purpose.
And then supporters are trying to drown out the hecklers.
Number two, we're going to rebuild our military, always matching threats to capabilities. This includes reviving our defense industrial base, reforming the acquisitions process. As you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, no more valley of death for new defense companies, modernizing our nuclear triad, ensuring the Pentagon can pass an audit, and rapidly fielding emerging technologies. And number three, we're going to reestablish deterrence. First and foremost, we will defend our homeland, our borders, and our skies. Second, we will work with our partners and allies to deter aggression in the Indo-Pacific from the communist Chinese. And finally, we will responsibly end wars to ensure that we prioritize our resources to reorient to larger threats. We can no longer count on reputational deterrence. We need real deterrence. The Department of Defense under Donald Trump will achieve peace through strength. And in pursuing these America First national security goals, will remain patriotically apolitical and stridently constitutional. Unlike the current administration, politics should play no part in military matters. We are not Republicans. We are not Democrats. We are American warriors. Our standards will be high, and they will be equal, not equitable. That's a very different word. We need to make sure every warrior is fully qualified on their assigned weapon system, every pilot's fully qualified and current on the aircraft they are flying, and every general or flag officer is selected for leadership or promotion purely based on performance, readiness, and merit. Leaders at all levels will be held accountable, and warfighting and lethality and the readiness of the troops and their families will be our only focus. This has been my focus ever since I first put on the uniform as a young Army ROTC cadet at Princeton University in 2001. I joined the military because I love my country and felt an obligation to defend it. I served with incredible Americans in Guantanamo Bay, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and on the streets of Washington, D.C., many of which are with me here today. This includes enlisted soldiers I helped become American citizens, and Muslim allies I helped immigrate from Iraq and Afghanistan, because when I took off the uniform, my mission never stopped. Now, it is true and has been acknowledged that I don't have a similar biography to defense secretaries of the last 30 years. But as President Trump also told me, we've repeatedly placed people atop the Pentagon with supposedly the right credentials, whether they are retired generals, academics, or defense contractor executives. And where has it gotten us? He believes, and I humbly agree, that it's time to give someone with dust on his boots the helm. a change agent, someone with no vested interest in certain companies or specific programs or approved narratives. My only special interest is the warfighter. Deterring wars and, if called upon, winning wars by ensuring our warriors never enter a fair fight. We let them win and we bring them home. Like many of my generation, I've been there. I've led troops in combat. I've been on patrol for days. I've pulled the trigger downrange, heard bullets whiz by, flex-cuffed insurgents, called in close air support, led medevacs, dodged IEDs, pulled out dead bodies, and knelt before a battlefield cross. This is not academic for me. This is my life. I led then, and I will lead now. Ask anyone who's ever worked for me or with me. I know what I don't know. My success as a leader, and I very much look forward to discussing my organization's successes at Vets for Freedom and Concerned Veterans for America. I'm incredibly proud of the work that we've done. But my success as a leader has always been setting a clear vision, hiring people smarter and more capable than me, empowering them to succeed, holding everyone accountable, and driving toward clear metrics. Build the plan, work the plan, and then work harder than everyone else around you. I've sworn an oath to the Constitution before, and if confirmed, I will proudly do it again. This time, for the most important deployment of my life. I pledge to be a faithful partner to this committee, taking input and respecting oversight. We share the same goals: a ready, lethal military, the health and well-being of our troops, and a strong and secure America. Thank you for the time, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you very much,
Mr. And so that is Pete Hegseth. So that's what I'm saying. You didn't miss a thing, because in the lead up, you know, they spent about a half an hour where everybody gets their chance to speak. But this is President-elect Trump's nominee. He's first up for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who you probably know well from Fox News. And by the way, his military evaluations, which have been leaked, if you will, some media, different media reporting on this, that his military evaluations came back as, quote, incredibly talented, battle-proven leader. Those are some of the statements that were made, as now he is under incredible scrutiny, 44 years old, Army National Guard veteran, former Fox News host, obviously resigned when he took on this incredible deployment, as he said, to lead the Department of Defense. And so he's obviously going to face tough scrutiny from Democrats who want to rip into allegations or personal things that happened many years ago. But he is somebody who was deployed with the New Jersey National Guard to Guantanamo Bay, where he was leader of a 39-man air assault infantry rifle platoon capable of deploying anywhere within the world within 36 hours. That's among, you know, his military service deployments to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, Iraq, and Afghanistan. So your thoughts, 855-839-1210. A lot of Trump news to get to, a lot of local news. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Pete Hegseth, as he's taking in the questions, and there's a lot of back and forth and procedural stuff, so we'll whittle that down for you. Just to point out that you're hearing the voice, or if you're watching on YouTube, Senator Roger Wicker, remember that he was the one who helped to oversee the Kavanaugh hearings and had talked about the allegations against then Kavanaugh, candidate for, and he was, Kavanaugh obviously is now a Supreme Court justice, but Senator Roger Wicker there calling it a smear tactic against the nominee and a real no-nonsense guy. So we'll move forward on that and bring you the highlights, the lowlights, etc. But there's a lot of news today. And get your thoughts, 855-839-1210. Caroline is not convinced. Hey, Caroline, what do you think so far about Pete?
I don't like any of his choices, and this Hegseth is totally unqualified. Besides being a drunk and abusing women, he was fired from various veterans organizations for misusing funds and not handling the funds well.
Caroline, when you watched Fox News, was he drunk on Fox?
Well, you would expect him not to be drunk there.
Okay, so he's sobered up. for the job.
Yeah, I guess he's sober. Right. For the time being, he's sobered up. And it was truly a cringeworthy moment when he brought his mommy to work that day for her to vouch for his character after she wrote a letter saying how he should shape up and stop mistreating women. So he's going to be managing an organization of 3 million people and handling $800 billion in funds. Would you trust him to do that after he was fired from various veterans organizations for mishandling funds? I wouldn't. Would you? And then you're saying these protesters should be arrested? Did you ever read the Constitution where you're allowed to protest?
Well,
you're not allowed to trespass into the Capitol and then create
mayhem. Well, that's where they are. You realize that's where they are. They're in the Senate chambers. The Capitol Police are there. And if you saw visually, Caroline, the Capitol Police are actually literally carrying the first gentleman. They carried him out.
Yeah.
But the Capitol Police there have said you're not allowed to do that because it's an official proceeding. And the Capitol Police said that I don't know that they'll be jailed. They'll be temporarily detained. They'll have to be processed. They'll face a fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the police have said that that is a crime. And so they've said that they will enforce the law there inside the chambers to have they're inside. But thank you for the call. I do appreciate it, Caroline. Thanks for calling. And I always take your calls. I do. I will say this about anybody in the public eye, that they can say anything about you. This will all come out. As my grandma always said, it all comes out in the wash. So in this case, as far as Pete Hegseth, you have on one hand his Fox co-workers, his military background, that was part of what I had read to you, what his military record shows. And they've talked about, if you look at his, some of this has been released, his performance evaluations, outstanding leadership skills, etc. They've talked about how he had deployments to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, Iraq, Afghanistan. And so the question is then that there was one or two allegations, but one in particular, where there was somebody who was at a bar with her boyfriend, went to bed. Then later, when her boyfriend said, "What were you doing?" then the story apparently came out that she was with Pete at the bar, maybe went up to a room with him or something. And so some of this stuff, I don't know how they, if there's not an official court record, it's he said, she said, but it just feels to me as if it's a smear. And the reason I say that is because you have incredible inconsistencies. In other words, you have his coworkers who've worked with him now for years, his bosses, others. You know, you remember at Fox, they've had some scandals. They had whistleblowers, if you will, and that rocked that company. But in this case, you don't hear that about his coworkers. They speak very highly of him, women, men, etc. And then when I look at his actual evaluation reports, outstanding performance, battle-proven leader, these are the things that you see here. It sounds like in his personal life, he went through a nasty divorce, and that's what Caroline referred to his mom. His mom did come out and said that during a very ugly divorce, that I guess there was some alcohol involved, getting liquored up, whatever, mom wrote him an email, which I did blast that, because as a mom, really, like, I would not email my kid first and foremost, but you be you. But his mom came out and said that was a point in the divorce that she regrets that her email was released. It's, mothers and mothers-in-law should never get involved in their kids' divorces. I think it's a hard thing not to do, but that's what that was. So did he go through some ugly divorces? Yep. Did he obviously have some issues early on many years ago? Yep. But at this point, is that relevant? That's my question. Is it all of that in the past relevant? 855-839-1210. But this is what they do, and it's a smear tactic. So nobody is questioning his service. And in fact, in the media, the thing I notice most is that when he's described, particularly in broadcast media, locally and nationally, in the so-called mainstream media, they barely mention his military service.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. That's wrong. If you consider yourself a news person, you need to acknowledge the guy did serve, right? He served. And there is nothing in his military record, his work record, his employment record, his HR record, all of that stuff should be relevant, right?
Yeah.
Because if you have something in your actual employment record that would say that you're not fit, or your military record, that would be relevant. None of that is anything other than stellar.
Let me propose to you, Dawn, because if you're the Democrats here, then you want to lead with the heaviest hitting material, right? You don't bury the lead, as you often say in the new world of news. You want to hear what they led with, the Democrats, in their line of questioning, Dawn?
Sure.
Take a listen. Here is Jack Reed, Senator Jack Reed.
Ms. Hegseth, you've written in its quote, "Oh, yeah, and fire any general who isn't carried water for Obama and Biden's extra constitution, an agenda-driven transformation for our military. Clean house and start over." It's come to my attention that current serving military personnel have received emails threatening them with being fired for supporting the current DOD policies. One mail that was sent to a military officer with the subject line, "Clean house," reminiscent of your specific comment, states, and I quote, "With the incoming administration looking to remove disloyal, corrupt, traitorous, liberal officers such as yourself, we will certainly be putting your name into the list of those personnel to be removed. We know you support the woke DEI policies and will ensure you never again influence anyone in the future. You and the redacted spouse's name will be lucky if you're able to collect your military requirement," end quote. Now, I want to remind everyone,
this is Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed,
that are being referred to date back decades, so the 1940s and 50s, with respect to racial discrimination particularly, and administrations of both parties, including the Trump administration and their first party, caused those policies to be enforced. Mr. Hegseth, are you aware of these emails being sent to officers?
Senator, you mentioned the word accountability, which is something we have not had for the last 4 years.
Are you aware of these messages being sent to officers?
Certainly, I'm not aware of that. It's not one of my efforts, but there's been no accountability for the disaster of the withdrawal in Afghanistan. And that's precisely why we're here today.
Boom.
Excuse me.
Is that leadership has been unwilling to take accountability. It's the time to restore that to our most senior ranks.
You've written publicly that DEI policy is a distraction and have military personnel walking on eggshells. Do you believe that emails like that, that are essentially threatening both a serving officer and a spouse and is claiming that they'll lose their pension, will have a distraction and detract from the lethality?
That's their opening question.
Senator, you mentioned,
and by the way, what the heck?
And you're precisely right.
What is he talking about? Whose emails?
Yeah.
Whose emails? What are these emails? Are these emails vetted? Like, what the heck,
it's
dude?
Leaked emails, yes.
So, you know.
And Pete just continues to own him if you want more, but it's your call.
Let's hear the rest of Pete.
Terry was a forerunner in courageous racial integration in ways no other institutions were willing to do. I served with men and women of all backgrounds because of the courage of people decades ago.
Mr.
Incredibly
Hexa,
important.
Please, do you mean,
however,
please,
the
do
DEI
you
policies of today are not the same as what happened back then. They're dividing troops inside formations, causing commanders to walk on eggshells, not putting meritocracy first. That's the indictment that's made by those serving right now.
Excuse me.
And why we're having this conversation.
All of your public comments don't talk about meritocracy. They talk about liberal democratic efforts that are destroying the military, that those people are our enemies.
Well, what's the opposite?
That's not meritocracy. That's a political view. And your goal, as I see emerging, is to politicize the military in favor of your particular positions, which you've outlined extensively, which would be the worst blow to the professionalism of the United States military.
And by the way, this Senator Jack Reed has refused. He was, you know, he has been in the headlines himself, refusing to return donations that were quite controversial because he had taken tens of thousands of dollars in campaign donations from a biggity big, a rich guy. And this was somebody who had investments in Rhode Island-based housing companies tied to thousands of substandard military housing units. So this guy is, you know, it's kind of thick and rich that he's calling out somebody like Pete Hegseth. He has been accused in recent years of corruption himself, and in fact, taking money from somebody who was aligned with substandard military housing units and benefiting from that. So that's your Senator Jack Reed, the Democrat from, the great Democrat from Rhode Island. I can't even understand half of what this guy's saying.
Does he even know what DEI is? Because he kept calling it DEI.
DEI. So I don't know. We'll get your thoughts. 855-839-1210, the number to call. The breaking news of the moment. We'll get to local. We'll get to national. We'll get to Trump. We'll get to Melania. We'll get to more of what we're learning about the big day, inaugural day, when Trump is sworn in, all the pomp and circumstances, everybody who's performing, looks like, by all accounts, a great day. By the way, a major shakeup at MSNBC. They have some announcements as to the failing network as Trump returns. So we'll talk about that as well. But want to get to this and your thoughts, 855-839-1210. My observation just from the point of the look of Pete Hegseth. So he's confident. He's unwavering. That's a good thing. He's somebody who not only has the media experience, but one of the reasons it's important to have the public vetting of somebody, you get to see how they react, how they handle these different questions. The fact that you had the senator from Rhode Island who was questioning Hegseth, and he immediately pivoted to, for example, Afghanistan and the incompetent withdrawal, that the disastrous, deadly withdrawal refers to Abbeygate. I think that was a huge moment and a show of what Hegseth is like, that he's not intimidated. And then as well, you did have these disruptions with people who are protesting right there inside and disrupting an official proceeding. That is a crime. We'll see if those individuals are charged, but Capitol Police immediately pouncing upon them and physically carrying some of them out as they appear to be fighting the Capitol Police officers. I believe that's a crime, too, to resist arrest. We'll see what charges those individuals face. 855-839-1210. Kathy and Bucks, you say what?
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
Good.
Well, first, I want to say that, you know, I give Pete Hegseth a world of credit and appreciation for him serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's definitely someone that you know would have your back, and he's a true American. But as I said, you know, everybody has a past. If they want to go to anybody's past, they could pick something out and smear it on you if they wanted to. And instead of taking all the good points of this man and being able to put it into effect for this country, I just think is terrible. And I just wanted to mention about your last caller about, you know, having the protests, and it's, you know, our constitutional right to speak up. Mm-hmm. There's a right to speak up, but there's also a right, there's not a right to destroy monuments and cause havoc and all of that. And they're the things that are created when things don't go the way certain people want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly see that will happen today. But I hope and pray that Pete Hegseth gets in. I think he'll do an incredible job. And we need more men like him to help Trump run this country.
Well, thanks, Kathy. I always appreciate your, you know, I love your insights, and thanks for calling. I appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line, and I just always find it ironic when somebody calls in and says they have the right to protest, and they literally, you know, are disrupting an official proceeding. And the same individual would not say that about those who walked into the Capitol building on January 6th, hours later, strolled in, maybe walked out, milled around for a few minutes, and left, never touched a thing, never touched anybody. those individuals, many of them, are in jail. I'm just putting that out there to you to compare it, if you want to say a protest during an official proceeding, right? And so you have individuals in a packed room. I could see them. They were resisting arrest. At least, and the one guy was a big guy. It took like half a dozen officers to subdue him, and they were literally carrying him. He was, you know, he was sideways as they're carrying him out of the room, and he's resisting arrest. And yet you won't see the media cover it in the same way. I'm just saying. As far as media, I'll just point this out to you. MSNBC president Rashida Jones, remember her? She left the company this morning, announcing her departure this morning to her staffers. Rashida is out of there. She's leaving the network after 4 years at the helm. So she's bye-bye. Bye-bye, Rashida. So we do see some of the networks making these necessary alignments. We have that going on, and we'll bring you the latest as far as other media realignments.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Please go like and subscribe. After this upcoming break, we'll show you video footage of that person being carried out of the room. Yeah.
And how many were there altogether? There was that guy, and then there was at least one other person, I believe.
I think there's three total.
Three total.
Yeah.
So we'll see, and we'll find out, you know, because it's a packed room, it's an official proceeding, and so these individuals were not only yelling, but they were also resisting arrest. And so will they be charged appropriately? Do we have a bet on whether or not they'll be charged with?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's never okay to assault a cop. Truth Social and one Donald J. Trump, as he put 3 hours ago, wished Pete Hegseth good luck. And then he also had another post where he talked about Gavin Newsom, where's the water? So he was ripping into the California governor about the wildfires and wishing Pete Hegseth good luck today, but showing his support for him. Earlier in the day, and actually it was overnight, Trump was, I don't know if he was up late or if he's up early or if he's just a late sleeper. I have no idea. But Trump ripping into Jack Smith, the not-so-special special prosecutor, who, of course, over the weekend announced his resignation, but kind of wanted to get in his last shiv. You know how Zioli always says, like, the last little shiv? And so this was, I think this is a low blow, if you will, with Jack Smith releasing this one piece of his report. A judge did not block it, could have. And so in this case, we see that Jack Smith wrote in the report released by the Department of Justice that, in fact, Smith says, yeah, I could have. We had the goods that Trump had tried to, you know, obstruct the last 2020 election, basically. And so this is just, to me, it's low. Days before Trump is to return to the White House, days before, I mean, next Monday, the 20th, he'll take the oath of office and become the 47th president. 45 becomes 47th, focusing fresh attention, right, on all of the problems that we're facing. It's a 137-page document, and it's hopefully the final Justice Department chronicle of these alleged probes. I call them persecution. Smith, you may recall, I had reported this yesterday, resigning over the weekend on Sunday officially after completing those two investigations. They were going after him criminally, and he wrote the report, and then it was just transmitted to Congress in the wee hours of this morning. How convenient, right before, you know, the Senate confirmation hearings. And so, you know, Trump then put out statements that I had told you about this morning where he, you know, what he called the failed prosecutor persecutor. And in essence, I think it's aggravating, but I would just say don't even respond. That's just my personal feeling, but I know that's easy for me to say. But I feel like this was just a jab to say, haha, I'm releasing this report. Yes, we had the goods. Well, no, you didn't. The people have spoken, and Trump all but said that. So there it is. I've been reporting it all this morning, so sometimes I feel like it's redundant. But if you're just tuning in, thanks for being here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Dawn Stensland, our executive producer, Dan Borowski. And we have, of course, Jimmy Kelly, our engineer. And we will be there next Monday. Hope you join us. And we'll be there from 6 o'clock in the morning, as you know. I hope you know by now. Through what? Are we there until 3 o'clock broadcasting live?
Yeah, I think it's 3. Yeah.
At the NAC?
Yeah.
So we hope you join us in Bucks County.
It's been a long day. It's going to be a fun day. Join us. Fantastic location. Amazing place.
Have you worked out at the Newtown Athletic Club?
Have I worked out there? Heck no, I wish. Have you seen that place?
So it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's stunning. Yeah. How many swimming pools
There's a water park there.
It's a big old slide.
Yeah.
I love it. They have a great summer camp. Check them out.
Spa.
We'll have to do some squats together, a little personal training. So we'll have fun with it. And we're monitoring the latest with Pete Hegseth. But I just think to make you know, sometimes there are a lot of procedural things. Everybody wants to make a statement. So we'll condense it for you and you won't miss a thing. I promise. I want to get to, we'll talk about inaugural day because we're learning about the latest, Donald Trump's presidential inauguration events. By the way, Carrie Underwood, the left losing their minds because Carrie, who's a superstar, quite frankly, she's a bigger star than Taylor Swift in many ways. And she's saying that she's honored. She's humbled. She's honored to answer the call at a time when she says we must all come together in the spirit of unity. And looking to the future, that's her statement. She'll be singing America the Beautiful, and she'll be joined by the Armed Forces Choir, as well as the U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club. So that from Carrie Underwood, but many are choosing. And you remember she was on American Idol. This dates back to my days as the Fox 10 o'clock news. You know, back when we had the number one ratings, by the way.
Did you get to interview all those American Idol contestants as they were coming through?
I was on one of the American Idols I was on at the beginning of the show.
Because really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, you were on it? You were
They took
in the
us
audience,
live
or?
Because I was with the audience. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you meet, like, William Hung?
All those... William Hung. Be Hung. But all those guys. It was a lot of fun. It was a great time for Fox. But she was the 2005 American Idol winner, if you recall.
Yeah.
And has gone on.
Maisie's obsessed with not only American Idol, but all competition reality shows. It's a tough life to navigate.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's Lee Greenwood, obviously, you know, some of the usuals, but the Village People. I was in the hall singing Macho Macho Man to Jimmy Kelly, Greg Stocker.
You want to do that again?
Sure.
Yeah? Sing right now? Yeah, go ahead.
What, Macho Man?
Yeah.
No, macho, macho,
oh, gosh,
man.
Oh, gosh.
I'm singing to you, baby. So Carrie Underwood, she's getting ripped by the left. So if you have a chance to support her on social media, not that she needs any of our support. Look, she is rich. She is beautiful. And she is, I think she's a conservative woman. And I think she's out of the closet. Ha. So there. I love it. I love when conservative women, especially come out of the closet, it's like another angel earns their wings. I'm just saying.
I want to complain about, you know, people complaining about Carrie Underwood, but I'm the quickest to complain about Bruce Springsteen when he does something for the Dems. So, I don't know. Can Carrie Underwood become the Republican Bruce Springsteen? That'd be awesome.
No, I mean, I think the statement she released was beautiful, and she's honored. Somebody asked her. I don't know who she knows. Is it somebody from Lee Greenwood's camp? You know what I'm saying? How does that all take place? I'd love to hear the backstory. But then, you know, and I get defensive because you guys know since day one when I used to do my Melania imitation way back in the day on the Zioli show in 2015, I love Melania Trump. I've been a huge fan of hers from way back from when she had her QVC line in this region and had traveled here. So she had her Be Best initiative, and that was, and it was pretty cool. It was on focusing on young people and their well-being, advocating against any kind of bullying, but especially cyberbullying. And so now she had released that she's going to continue to expand her Be Best program. People magazine, of all people, they had this headline that Melania Trump will return to, a headline that said her failed Be Best.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, really?
That's terrible.
So it's just another, because Larry, I don't know how these magazines show up at my house. But what I know. Larry Bear, what are you doing, babe? So we get freaking People magazine.
They come up and try to sell them magazines. Like, okay, all right, whatever. Just sign me up.
I think, I imagine, Dan, it's,
Home and Garden.
Yeah, it's probably something. We get that, too. It's and I do not sign up for these. So I think he's signing up for probably something with, like, the Red Zone, and then you get something free. Like, you know what I mean? And he just says, okay, fine.
Maybe he just has a very strong liking to these home magazines.
I don't know. Yeah? They just are clutter. Usually I bring them into work here.
He's the one
and
doing
I leave
all,
them.
Like, the decorating around the house, right?
Right. Actually, Larry is... He and Stacia, my stepdaughter, are very creative.
Yeah.
Actually, Larry Bear is a better decorator than I am. He actually has a creative...
I don't buy it.
He does. It's true.
I think you're just giving him a compliment. You know,
I'm not. I would never do that.
Yeah. Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.